Morning. Today's Daven Avodah Zarah Yud Ches. We start today on the very bottom of Yuzayin Amud Beis, and we are up to Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan. Chananya ben Trajan, one of the Asara Arugei Malchus, living at the time of the destruction of Bayis Sheni. So we know him already. We introduced him twice a year. We read about him on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, two times a year, in which placed into the Nusach HaTfilah is the Asara Arugei Malchus, and the Gemara itself tells us some more details regarding the episode here on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Ches. He comes up as a result of yesterday's Daf. We told a number of stories of Rav Lazar ben Parta and Rav Chananya ben Trajan, where they were both taken in and by the Roman government, and they were comparing each other's cases to one another. One was trumped up on five charges, the other one was trumped up on one charge. But in any event, though, he's one of the Asara Arugei Malchus, and so we hear about him right here in our Gemara. Asula Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan Amrulei Amayka Asakta Baraisa. So they ask him, how come it is that you were involved in the study of Torah? Amrulei Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. He says, what do you mean? I was commanded. That's what I'm here for. Miyad Gazru Olav L'Sreifa. So then they declared that he was subject to the penalty of Sreifa of Alisha L'Ariga. And as far as his daughter is concerned, as far as his wife is concerned, she's also going to be subject to execution of Albito L'Yesha B'Kubash Zonos. And the daughter, Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan, is going to be subject to be sent to the house of ill repute. So I love the Sreifa. Now, as far as him getting Sreifa is concerned, Shaya Hoges Hashem Bosi Yosef. Now, the Gemara is giving us the explanation in terms of why it is that they're getting punished. Meaning, the Gemara is not explaining why the Romans are punishing him in this manner, but why is it that Akash Baruch Hu goes there, that they were going to be receiving, that he was going to be receiving this particular punishment. So as far as Sreifa is concerned, he's Hoges Hashem. So Hogus Hashem, what exactly is meant by that in the Gemara? So Rashi over here doesn't comment, but Tosus over here comments, and Tosus quotes a Rashi. So it's either Rashi from elsewhere in Shas, or it could be that it's a version of Rashi that we don't have over here. But in any event, take a look at the top Tosus on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Tosus writes, Hogus Hashem. Perisha Kodesh Shadorsho B'mem Beis Osios V'Osa B'Mashu Chafetz. So one version of what Rabbi Chananya ben Trajan did is that he took the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was made up of 42 letters. Rashi elsewhere says that we don't know what that name is, meaning we don't have a Masorah anymore in terms of this Shem Hashem, which is 42 letters. And he would use it, he would utilize it, and to his own advantage. That's one pshat in the Gemara. Verova Olam, and continuing in Tosfos. Mefarshim Shaya Kore Be'Ferish Osiel Shel Shem HaMiyucha Be'Osiel Shel Shar Hatevos, vize ein lasos. So others say that no, that what Rav Chananya ben Trajan did is that he pronounced the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the shame of the Yudke Vavke, the four letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he pronounced it the way that's written, and we're not allowed to do that. And he quotes the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim on Daf Nun says, Lo kishani nichtav ani nikra, ani nichtav Yudke v'nikra b'alav dalet. So even though it's spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's pronounced Adnus, so we're not allowed to pronounce the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it's written. In the base of Mikdash, with the Kohen, with the Kohen giving Berachas Kohanim, so then he would pronounce the Shem HaMefarish. But generally speaking, we're not allowed to do that. And Yom Kippur. But even nowadays, Bezman is there, we don't do that. But that, the Gemara says, is what Rav Chananya ben Trajan was doing according to Tosfos. Tosfos goes on to talk more about Shem Hashem, based on Gemara and Shavuos that we did that not so long ago we were doing. But anyway, okay, so he was Hogus Hashem, so for that you're Chayv Sreifa. And the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. We're talking about Rav Chananya ben Trajan. Right, so he did that? So we now turn to the beginning of the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, parak Chelek. And the opening mishnah over there says that these are the people that are not getting a portion of the world to come. And ha'omer ein Torah min ha'shamayim ve'ein tchias ha'meisim min ha'torah, Abba Shalom omer af ha'hoges ha'shem ba'osi yosav. So someone who makes statements of apikorsis, when somebody says that there's no tchias ha'meisim in the Torah, remember the Rashi over there in that mishnah, the Rashi says, it's not just a denial of tchias ha'meisim, it's a denial of tchias ha'meisim is not even found in the Torah. Meaning that there's no remez in the Torah for tchias ha'meisim. That person too is also included in the is not part of ein lo chelek olam haba, and somebody says Torah is not min hashamayim, and Abba Shaul adds to the list over there in the first Mishnah of the 11th paragraph of Sanhedrin, Hoge es Hashem be'osi osav, where you make usage of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how could it be that Rabbi Hanani ben Chajon then did it when there is a clear prohibition to do so with extraordinarily strong ramifications if one does so? So the Gemara's answer is l'islamid avad. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't do it for his own personal gain, but he did it l'islamid. He did it in order to teach others. So this was simply for educational purposes. Kedetanya lo soma lasos. The pasuk says that you can't learn in order to do aval atalamid lahavin alaho rose. But if it's for educational purposes, so then that would be fine. So Elamai Tami Yanishin, that's true. So then why is he punished? Meaning, if he did have justification for doing it, so then he shouldn't have been punished. So the Gemara's answer is Mishum Hogas Hashem Befar Hesya Dahave. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's true, but he did it publicly. Meaning, even though he did it with licensing, the license that allowed him to do is that he was for educational purposes, but nevertheless, he should not have done it in such a public forum. It's still something which should be kept, so to say, under wraps. It should be done more privately. And the Gemara says, and as a result of that, that is what it will cause them to be punished. If you take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi over here, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is exactly when it comes to the tzaddikim, even at a hair's width. And even if it's for educational purposes, you still have to be concerned with kavod harav. Now, if that's true, so Rashi says, what do you do about the pasuk? I mean, the pasuk does seem to give a heter if it's for educational purposes. So Rashi says, b'milach renaisa tukma. So that we could say is talking about other areas. Kimo, nitiyas kishu and desanhejin, udmusur slavan and derabbing amlio. So Rashi cites two other gemaras where, for educational purposes, it would be okay. So for example, Rashi quotes the gemara in Sanhedrin regarding nitiyas kishuin, right? In other words, using sorcery so you can harvest a whole field. You remember the Gemara's over there, where the Gemara was discussing different various types of sorcery that's prohibited in the Torah, and one of the practices that was done is they would harvest a field without working, meaning using magic, using sorcery. So there, if you're doing that, but you're doing it only for educational purposes, just to simply show other members of the Sanhedrin, here's what it looks like, here's how it's done, and you know, you go over the details, or Rashi quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah over there has Rabbi Gamliel, where on the wall he had pictures of the moon. So when the Adam came in to testify about the moon, so he would point to the pictures on the wall, and he said, did it look like that? Did it look like that? And you're not allowed to put pictures of the moon, meaning making pictures of the moon is usur. But it was for purposes of limud, it was for the purposes of study, and so for that there's a heter. So those in those areas, so educational purposes would be okay, but ho gets a shame, so not necessarily. And that's the... And that says Rashi could be the reason why Rabbi Hananya was punished. Okay, so far what do we have right now? We have the punishment of Rabbi Hananya ben Chajon as it is right now deemed to be Sreifa. More details of that to follow. So now as far as his wife is concerned, she had an opportunity to give tochacha to her husband. She should have rebuked him. Okay, she was supposed to be. I don't mean this in any kind of mean way. She was supposed to be a nagging wife. That's what they're there for. And you have the opportunity to give tochacha, and you don't give tochacha, so you're going to be punished. Now, as far as his daughter is concerned, so she now is going to be sent to the Kubashol Zonos. We will be learning later this morning. She is not the only daughter of Rabbi Hananya ben Chajon. There were other daughters of Rabbi Hananya ben Chajon. I dare say the other daughter is going to be slightly more popular. We'll talk about that later this morning. But this daughter, however, because of her own behavior, was sent to the Kubashol Zonos. Why? There was an episode once where she went amongst the Roman dignitaries, Amru Kamenos Psiosocial Ribazu, and they commented on her. And she overheard the comment that was said about her. Right? She has a nice gait. She has a nice step. So Miyad Diktika Bipsiosaha. Now that she knew that she was attracting attention, so what did she do? She was more careful about the way she walked. But I say more careful, though, not in a modest way, meaning she knew that the way she walked to attract attention, and therefore she looked to attract more attention. And so as a result of that, there was a lack of modesty on her part, and so she was sent to Kubashol Zonos. V'ayinu dam Rabbi Shimon Malakish Ma'idichsiv Avon Akve Yisubeini. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that the sin of my heel is going to surround me. Now here, we can take this pasuk and look at it literally. meaning that her heel, meaning the way she walked, caused her to sin. In other words, a lack of tzius, and it surrounded her. So, but the Gemara over here darshans the pasuk a little bit differently. Avonish adam dash ba'akvav. Sins that people just simply step on with their heel. Those sins are going to surround them liyam adin. Rashi over here, when citing this Gemara, shadam dash ba'akvav, diktuk psiyosav kihacha. So Rashi gives one example, like what we're describing over here, meaning literally you're the way you step, the way you walk. But then Rashi points out, but the Gemara could be understood on a more general level. Rashi writes, Sha'adam dorsam beraglav she'en chashuv me'enav klo. Certain averas in this world, the person just doesn't regard, and he steps on them. And those averas are going to be made for him liyom adin. Okay. Back to the Gemara, back to the episode with Rav Hananya ben Chajan. So far now we have three verdicts. One for him, one for his wife, one for his daughter. For him and for his wife, it's execution. For his daughter, she's going to be confined to a house of ill repute. So as they were being taken out, so all three of them went through the process of Tzidek Adin. The process of Tzidek Adin is coming to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right and we're in the wrong. So he says, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, he is a rock and everything that he does is perfect. And his wife also quoted from the same parsha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel emunah, is a God of faith, and in avo, and there is no distortion. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. Bito amra gadol aitzav v'rav ha'aliyah, asher einecha pekuchos ha'kol darchei. And the daughter also quoted a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And she also was matztika esadin. Anyway, matztika esadin. I was right the first time. So anyway, she also noted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect in his ways. Amar Rabbi Kama Gedolim Tzadikim Alol Shin Hazdavin Olam Shosh Mikor Shal Tzidek Adin B'Sha'as Tzidek Adin. Rabbi commented, we saw this yesterday, we're going to see this a couple times today as well, meaning that at the end of these stories or at the end of the chapters of these incidents, so Rabbi has a comment to make, and the Gemara here records Rabbi's comment. It's like Rabbi's commentary. But Rabbi says over here, look, it's one thing to no psukim about Tzidek HaDin. It's another thing to quote them correctly at the time when you need them. Meaning you're being taken out, you're being executed, and other sorts of judgments. At that point in time, like, is your head on straight? Can you think clearly? And meanwhile, Rabbi pointed out that they were, meaning Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan, his wife, his daughter, they were at such a madrega, they were at such a level that they were able to cite these psukim at the time when needed, when normally people do not have a clear head. Tan Rabban Kishachal Rav Yosef ben Kisma Halach Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan Levakro. Rav Yosef ben Kisma is sick and he's visited by Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan. Obviously, this story is now happening earlier, meaning this is almost like a flashback, if you will. So Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan visits Rav Yosef ben Kisma. Amr lo, Chaninya achi, iata yodea shumazu min hashamayim him lichua. Don't you know that this nation is referring to the Romans? So they were appointed by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shechrivos Beiso, because look what they did. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash for Sarfa Seichalo. They burnt the Beis HaMikdash for Hargos Chasidav. They killed the Chasidim, the Avdas Tovav. Got rid of really good people. V'adayin hi kayemis. And they're still here. V'anisha mati alecha sh'ata yoshev ha'osek b'Torah. And I got to tell you, what I hear about you is that you gather people and you teach Torah publicly. U'makil kilos b'rabim. And you do so in a public forum. V'sefer munach lach b'chekech. And you have the Sefer Torah on your lap. And you're so public about the way you teach Torah, and you know that this nation, the Roman nation, doesn't want that, and you know that you yourself are putting your life in your own hands by conducting yourself in such a manner. And Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan says, yeah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have Rachman Asami. So Amar Lo, Ani Omer Lecha Dvarim Shel Tam, and Rav Yossi says to Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan, I'm trying to talk to you reasonably. Like, I'm, in other words, I'm trying to have a rational conversation with you. And you're giving me this religious response of, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything. Like, what's going on? Now, it's funny. You would think that this kind of conversation takes place between someone who is religious and not so religious. And clearly in our Gemara over here, we're having Rav Yossi and Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan. They're both very religious people. And they're both arguing about whether or not we should be thinking rationally or, no, it's not necessary to think rationally. You know, it's the kind of debate which, you know, goes on, you know, for years, centuries, millennia. It's not a new debate. It's an old one. Tama aniim lo yisrafu oscha v'sefer Torah be'esh. And he says, Rav Yossi says, you know, it's hard for me to imagine. I mean, it's hard to imagine all this to begin with. But This morning, the daf is going to be asking us to imagine this. But it's hard for me to imagine that you're not going to get burnt together with the Sefer Torah in fire. Meaning, based on your actions, like I only see one end to you. Amar lo Rebbe ma'ani l'chayom haba. So Rabbi Chananya ben Chajar now turns to Rabbi Yossi and says, okay, I now am questioning whether I'm doing what I'm doing is right or not, whether I'm doing is not right. Meaning Rabbi Chananya now is forced to think about, yeah, what he, you know, he's sacrificing clearly, but is that right? And so now he turns to Rabbi Yossi and he says, am I going to get a portion in Olam Haba? Amar lo klum ma'isa baliyadcha. So he says, look, now's a good time to think about your actions, your past actions. Is there anything that you've done in your life that suggests or suspects that maybe you're not going to get a portion of Olam Haba? Amar lo, so this is now the second time we're hearing this in the second day. Gemara said this back in yesterday's daf, saying it again today. Amar lo, ma'oshel purim nischafali b'ma'oshel shel tzedakah v'chilaktem la'aniyim. Yeah, there was one episode, I was a gabbai. I was a gabbai tzedakah. I collected general tzedakah money, and I collected also purim tzedakah money. Right, maton la'aniyim on purim. And what happened was is that one time I got the two accounts mixed up and I put the monies together and I allocated the money as if it was general money and not specifically earmarked for Purim. And so that's what I did one time. So Amalohim came Machalkacha Ye Chalki. Omegarlacha Ye Garali. So Rav Yossi says to Rabbi Chananya ben Chajar, if that's the worst you can think of, so not only are you gonna get an Olam Haba, I want to be with you in Olam Haba. Your Olam Haba is basically where I want to be. So Rav Yossi dies. Now apparently Rav Yossi had a very, very good relationship with the Romans. It seems very clear from the Gemara over here. The Gedolei Rom, the dignitaries of Rome, went to bury him, and they gave him a great eulogy. Now, as they're coming back from the funeral of Rav Yossi, so they see Rav Chananya ben Chajar. And the Gemara didn't even have to say this. We knew already how they found him. They found him with having a gathering, teaching Torah, umakul kilos barabim, publicly. The Sefer Torah munach lo b'cheiko, and the Sefer Torah is in his lap. So with no embarrassment whatsoever, no reservation whatsoever, so he's teaching Torah publicly, like we already know that he did, but they're doing so on the return from the burial of Rav Yossi. So now, with the flashback now over, we are now at the point of execution, and we have now the picture of them wrapping him in the Sefer Torah, also ikifu bechevli zmuros, also with vines, and they lit the fire. But as an action of sheer cruelty, what they do is they take wool, they soak the wool in water, so it's fire resistant, and they put it on the heart of Rabbi Chananya ben Chajar, so that he does not die all that quickly. And so that the death and the execution would be a slow and drawn out execution. Now the daughter says to the father, am I really supposed to see you like this? And this is crazy.
Just talk about the daughter that was taking care of the
bulls. Yeah. Yeah. So, Amr Allah, Yom So, Rabbi Chananya ben Chajar says to the daughter, look, if I just was being burnt by myself, so then I would have also had a tough time with this. But I'm being burnt together with the Sefer Torah. The one who seeks for the embarrassment of the Sefer Torah, meaning a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The one who is the protector of the Sefer Torah and looks to guard for any kind of embarrassment from the Sefer Torah, that same one, capital O, that same one should also look for my embarrassment as well and protect me as well. Basically, he said to his daughter, look, I'm being burned with the Sefer Torah over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me and the Sefer Torah. Not. In other words, my response would be, not in the manner in which Rav Chananya was doing. Rav Chananya was clearly doing it as a public demonstration. So the students say, "What do you see?" In other words, and Tosfos over here points out, shum davar tema, o malachim o davar acher. In other words, it was they realize that there should be something amazing happening over here. Inami Tosfos also suggests b'shvoshayu shomim kol ha'osios ha'porchos v'al yodemahu.
or Tosfos points out that they heard something, but they didn't understand what they were listening to, as the letters themselves were flying up. So the students knew that something was going on, something that was just above natural order was going on, but they didn't fully understand, so they turned to the Rebbe and they said, what's going on? Mata Roa, Amalan Gilion Esrafim, the Osios Porchos. So I see that on one hand, the cloth of the Sefer Torah is being burnt, but as far as the letters are concerned, the letters are flying up to Shemayim. So they ask the Rebbe, Rebbe Chanan Ben Chajon, you know, if you just open up your mouth a little bit, ingest a little bit more of the smoke, so you'll die a little bit quicker, and you won't be suffering as much. No, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take my life. The one who gave me life is the one who's going to take my life, and I'm not going to damage or injure myself. So the Rabbeinu Tam over here, as if the Gemara was not hard enough to go through, Rabbeinu Tam over here points out that if, let's say, for example, you're worried, right? The says next Tosus on the Amud. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, I'll read it inside. Dehecha she'yireim penya aviram ov dekochem la'avera kagon ha'idei yisurim. If, let's say, you know you're going to be, you're going to be tortured, and you know you're going to have a hard time withstanding that torture, shalo yuchol amod b'hem azhu mitzvah l'chaba ba'atzmo. So then, Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam says, I think at that point in time, you do have a right to give up your life, even if it means suicide. You'll see in just a moment. Azhu mitzvah l'chaba ba'atzmo ki ayid degidin gabi yiladim she nishbu l'kalon she yitilo atzmom l'yam. What's the Gemara in Gittin? The Gemara in Gittin, which generally speaking is learned on Tisha B'Av. It's the kind of Gemara that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara in Gittin talks about the boys who know that they were taken by the Romans for Avera, and they know that there were certain temptations that they would not be able to withstand, and so then they gave up their lives. So Rabbeinu Tam extends that idea to torture as well. If you know you're going to be tortured and you know you're not going to be able to withstand the torture, so then you're allowed to give up your life. And apparently Rabbi Natam understands our Gemara, that Rabbi Chanan ben Chajo knew that he could withstand the torture, and therefore that's why he refused to give up his life any earlier. Amarlo, we're back to the Gemara. Amarlo klatz doniri Rebbe, imanim arbe b'shal heves v'neltos fugim shotzer ma'al lebcha, atam evina l'chayolam haba. So at this point in time, the executioner had a thought. And that is that he's going to oslite nasadin. He's going to have to meet his maker after 120 years. And this is what he's got on his account, on his balance sheet, that he killed. He was the actual executioner of Rabbi Chanani ben Trajan. So at that point in time, he must have had some sort of hihuri tshuva, and he says, "Look, if I accelerate the death process, I increase the fire, and I take the moist wool off your heart, would I get a portion in olam haba?" Amr Lohain. So Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon says yes. He shavali. So he says, okay, I would like a shvua, nishba lo, and he gives a shvua. Miyan har bibishal heves venatos fugim shal tsema mialibo. And he increases the fire, and he removes the wool off of his chest. Yatsu nishmaso ben mehera. And so Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon dies even that much quicker. Well, you'll see in just a moment. Your question is going to be answered in just a moment. Afu kafats v'nafal esocha or. And then what the executioner did is that he jumped into the fire. Yatza baskol v'amra. And out comes the baskol and says, Rebbe Chanan ben Chajon, v'klatz toniri, mizumanim hem l'chayolam haba. So both, Rebbe Chanan ben Chajon, together with the executioner, are both going to be receiving a portion in olam haba. Bacha Rebbe v'amar. And again, we get Rebbe's comment on the episode. Yesh kon olama b'sha'achas v'yesh kon olama b'kamashanim. Now this happens to be a comment of Rebbe that we already saw in yesterday's daf, meaning with the yesterday when we did the episode of Rav Elazar ben Dordaya. So Rebbe also had the same commentary over there. Rav Elazar ben Dordaya, who was a lifetime of Aryan, but did tshuva, and for that one moment of tshuva received a portion of olam haba. So Rebbe commented over there, same as he did over here. Okay. I mentioned earlier this morning that the daughter of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon, who was then confined to the Beis Zonos, was one of the daughters of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon, and not the most popular daughter of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon. The one who probably is going to get that is going to be the other daughter of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon, and that is Bruria. Okay, Bruria, we are slightly more familiar with. Bruria divasad Rabbi Meir Barte de Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon. Bruria was both the wife of Rabbi Meir and the daughter of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajon. So, Have Amar Lo Zila Ben Milsa. So she turns to her husband. She says, "You know, pasnished." In other words, it's totally inappropriate that my sister now is in the house of the Beis Zonos. So it's not right that my sister is there. Shakal Tirkava Didinari Va'azo. So basically, she was telling her husband, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to release her from the prison. So she sent her husband on a dangerous mission, and that is the release of his sister-in-law from the Beis Hazonos. So now basically what he's going to do is he's going to bribe. So Shakal Tarkava Didinari, so he takes 3 kavim of gold, Va'azo Amar. And now he says the following. If she never violated Yisurim, meaning she was in the Beis Zonos, but she wasn't with a man, so then a miracle will happen. Well, I'll be able to release her. However, but if she violated Yisurim over there, so no miracle is going to take place, because in order for this rescue to work, it's going to take a miracle. But a miracle will only happen if she's worthy of a miracle.
She might have been forced.
Honest. Yeah, that's honest. That's not Avera. Okay. Azal naka nafshe b'chad parasha. K'chad parasha. So what he does is he goes and he disguises himself like one of the Romans. Parashim. Right. So Amar lai hashmin ali. So basically now, he, Rabbi Meir, I know this is a wild story, but the Gemara over here doesn't spare any detail. So so he says now to her, he propositions her. He now, the brother-in-law to his sister-in-law, he propositions his sister-in-law. And basically what he's doing now is he's testing her to see whether or not she did in fact sin. So Amar lei deshasana ana. So she says, it's that time of month for me and I'm just not available. Amar la merasna mirtach. So he says, okay, I'll wait. Meaning, okay, so what do we have to do? Wait a day? Wait 2 days? I'll wait. Amrlo nefishin tuva v'ika tuva hacha. Dishapiran minai. Her response is, you know, there are a lot of other girls over here. A lot of them are more beautiful than I am. Why don't you take advantage of other women that are over here? Amrshma mina lo avde yisura. So called the asi amr lehachi. So he arrives at the conclusion that this is her story. Every time a man comes over to her, so this is what she tells every man that comes over to her. So she's pure. So he realizes now that she's in a position where he's now going to make the attempt to rescue her, and they're going to get siyata d'shmaya. Azal gabi shomer dida. So he goes over to the guard. Amar lei havani Allah. So he says, okay, let me have her. Amar lei mistafinu memachusa. So the guard says, look, release her. You know I have to answer to the Romans. I release her, I'm going to answer to the Romans, and I have nothing to say to them. Like, what am I supposed to do? So Amar lei shkol tarkava didinare palga plach. So he says to her, here, look, I'm going to give you 3 kapim of gold. So with your, which here's what I suggest you do. With 1.5 of it, so you're going to bribe. So you'll bribe your superiors. And the other 1.5, meaning now you'll be out of a job. Okay. But then you'll live off of the other 1.5. So he says, okay, but the gold is not going to last forever for me. In other words, so I need my long-term retirement plan. And so, great. So you took care of my short term. But, you know, I'm going to live for many years. And what am I going to do then? So Amar lei Ema. So he says to him, here's what you'll say. Elah demeir aneni. So you say the magic words of Elah demeir aneni, the God of Meir should answer me. Mitat salta. And you're going to be saved. Amar lei, we turn to the top of Yuchesim and Beis. Umiyema dahachi ika. And so now the guard says to Rabbi Meir, I'm happy you think this, but come on. So Amar lei hashta chazis. So Rabbi Meir says, okay, you want me to show you? Fine, I'll show you. So havu anu kava de havu ka achle inche. So there were these crazy dogs who would eat people. So shako kala shada bahu. So Rabbi Meir takes a little bit of earth, throws it at the dogs, basically incites the dogs, come on, let's go. And now the dogs are attacking Rabbi Meir. Amar Allah Demeir Aneni. And now he says the words Allah Demeir Aneni. And Shafkuha. The dogs leave him alone. Okay, so now it's tested and proven, and so it is an important formula.
What about the idea that he's going to put himself in dangerous
situation? Yeah, I know. Listen, he knew, I mean, he said it in the beginning. This, in order for this rescue to work, it's going to take a miracle. He said it in the beginning. I know you're not allowed to rely on it. I'm right. But in other words, but he knew it, and he also knew that he was going to get it because he knew that the schus of her being pristine and maintaining her dignity was going to help. Right? So, yeah. It's good. It's good. Shavkua. So okay, fine. V'yavale. So fine. So now his sister-in-law was handed over to him. So the guard agreed, and Lesof Ishtama Milsa Be Malka, and all of this got back to Rome Central. Asiwa Askul Zakifa, and now they basically are getting ready to hang him, meaning the guard, meaning because word got back to Rome Central that the guard let this girl go, and obviously the Romans didn't want any part of this. They didn't want to hear any part of it. So they called the guard and they put him on the gallows, and they're ready to hang him. Amar. And now he knows what to say. Ela de mayor anani. So achtua. So they took him back down again. And it's funny. Basically, this no miracle occurred, but he did get saved for the following reason. So they took him down from the gallows, and Amr lay my high. And they say to him, what did you just say? So Amr lahu hachi have a maisi. He says, well, this is I'm just going to tell you what happened. And he basically tells over the entire story of why it is that he released this young woman. So then they took a picture of Reb Meir. I mean, took a picture. You know, we're going back a couple thousand years. They drew a picture of Meir, and artists come in. So they drew a sketch of Reb Meir. They hung it over the entrance of Rome, and Amre with the following tagline underneath the picture. Called the Chazal le Pirtufa Hadain Leise. You see this guy, so you bring him here. Okay, so basically our first wanted picture in the history of mankind, or at least the first one recorded. So you machad chazua, so they see him. In other words, now he's notorious, Reb Meir. So there was a sighting. There was a Reb Meir sighting. Rada Basre, they're running after him. Rami Kamaihu, and so now he's running away. So Ala Bezono. So he now runs to the house of prostitution. Ika de Amre. Some have the version Bishul of the Kochavim Chaza Tamash Bahu Matak Bahu. And what he did is he gave the impression that he was eating Bishul Akum. Okay, now it's funny. A couple times already in this Masech, when we make reference to Bishul Akum, it's coming up formally in about 2 weeks from today. We're going to be discussing Bishul Akum formally. Where there's an Isser Midrabanan, that one is not allowed to eat food that is cooked by a non-Jew. And what Rabbi Meir did is he stuck his finger into food cooked by a non-Jew, and then he licked his finger. But as Rashi over here explains, he did not lick the same finger that he stuck in. In other words, so he gave the impression that he was eating Bishul Akum, but he wasn't actually eating Bishul Akum. And so, yes, he's now giving the impression that he's violating an Avera, but for the purposes of saving his life. Igadami, now a third version of what he did in order to successfully run away from the Romans is Asa Eliyahu Mele Kizona Karte. Eliyahu now comes, appears like a woman, like a prostitute, and hugs, embraces Rabbi Meir. Amre, Chas Vashalmi, Rabbi Meir Hava, Lohava Avid Hache. And look, they knew who the fugitive was. And that's not Rabbi Meir. Because even though he looks like Reb Meir, but he doesn't behave like Reb Meir, and Reb Meir would never involve himself in that kind of activity. So interesting. Meaning he was running away, and they were chasing him, but they knew Reb Meir so well, they knew that this couldn't possibly be Reb Meir. Come Arak Asal Bavo. And so now what does he do? So he leaves the country, he flees the country. He leaves Israel, goes to Bavo. Iga de Amri Mehai Maisa. Now, why did he flee to Bavo? So what do you mean, why did he flee to Bavo? We just went over the entire story. So one version has it that he fled to Bavel because of this episode, of this entire episode of him freeing his sister-in-law and the Romans pursuing him and him having to keep running away from the Romans. So he was a fugitive. So basically he chose, I'll just leave the country. And that way I won't have to run anymore. Iga de Amri, the Gemara has another version of why it is that he left Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel, and because of Maisa de Beria, because of the episode regarding Beria. Okay. I tell the story with a little bit of hesitation, but in other words, we're an adult crowd. We can handle this to a certain degree. To a certain degree, we can handle this. Okay, so and take a look at Rashi, and I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Now, the Gemara over here cites some sort of episode with Beria, And that, in other words, caused him enough embarrassment where he had to leave the country and he fled and he left above all. What was the episode regarding Berea? So Rashi over here records. Now, quite frankly, where did Rashi get this from? So that's an excellent question. I happen not to know the answer to that question. Okay. I suggest maybe it's from a Medrash, but Rashi doesn't cite a source. So I happen not to know where he gets this from. So, No. Rashi's going to quote a different episode. I'm going to go through it inside. You'll see. It's a different episode. So, Ikedami Mishum Maisa Deburia. Shepamachas Liglaga Al Shamru Chachamim. So Rashi writes like this. There was one time where she said something disparaging about Mamre Chazal. Which Mamre Chazal was she disparaging? The one in Kedushin. The one in the Gemara in Kedushin says, Nashon Daitan Kalosein. That women have a Daitan Kalos. Let's translate it literally. They have a light mind. Meaning that their mind skips from topic to topic, and so So anyway, that's the Gemara in Kedushin. And she hears it, and it offends her. So, Nashim Daitin Kalosein, Alayu Va'amar La Chayecha Sovchos Lahodos LeDivrehim. So Rabbi Meir says to his wife, Ruria, look, I know it's not pleasant. Maybe, it's honest, and you don't like it, but eventually you're going to agree that they're correct. In other words, they knew what they were talking about. And so what Rabbi Meir then therefore did is instructed one of his students to test his wife. Lidvar Avera. And v'hiftzerba. And so what the student did, as per the instructions of his Rabbi, is that he propositioned Bruria. And Yamim Rabim. And he did so day after day. Ashenis Rasis. And eventually she capitulated. And when she discovers, and when it's discovered, Chanka Atzma, she chokes herself. She asphyxiates herself. And the Arak Rabbi Meir Machmas Kisufan, Rabbi Meir was so embarrassed, so he ran away. Okay. Can I make sense of the story? It's really hard. It's really difficult to make sense of the story. Rabbi's instructions to his students, the students' compliance with the instruction. It's a story which, if Rashi didn't say it, you wouldn't even imagine such an episode would happen. Okay. Correct. Okay.
Whatever happened to
Rebbe,
did he ever come back?
Okay. Excellent questions. I got the Gemara in front of me right here, so I can, I can only take it so far in terms of facts and details regarding the story. Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing the Gemara with the first wide line of the Daf, and the Gemara over here now continues along these types of discussions. Haholech leitzdadinan ulecharkom. If a person either goes to the stadium or to the charkom, okay. Now a couple things over here. Stadium, by the way, I told you when we saw this back in the Mishnah. The word itzdadin and the English word stadium, first, it's not an English word, obviously it's a Latin word. So in other words, they're deriving from the same source. In other words, they used to have some sort of stadium back then. Now, you're right, we know about the Roman Colosseum and the Roman stadiums. So there, it's blood sport. In other words, they had convicts over there that were sent to their death. And so that's the stadiums. Charkom. So Charkom actually sounds a lot like the English word circus. Again, it's not an English word. But it sounds like the word circus, charkom. Okay, in fact, the word circus is spelled with two C's. In other words, probably, and at a different time, I'm speculating now, but at a different time it's probably, we're not pronounced circus, but anyway. But charkom, was some sort of circus. Again, circus over here, you'll see the Gemara's description is going to be something very similar to a circus. And so, but circuses back then also, Rashi over here describes it as more like a siege. Right, some sort of siege that was laid around the city. There may be a relationship between a circus and a siege. Okay, I'll try to describe that a little bit later. But anyway, these are Roman gatherings, and these are Roman gatherings where it's blood sport. People are going to be dying at such a Roman gathering. So, the Bryce over here records now. Basically, are you and I allowed to go to these kind of events? So, Tana Rabbanan. Haolech leitzayin lecharkom v'rasham, es, hanachashim, ve'es, hachavarim, bukin, mukin, mulin, lulian, belurian, salgurin, ariz, emoshav leitzim. So the Bryce over here says that you go there and you see some sort of witchcraft, sorcery, and all these types of clowns. Literally, they were clowns. These are the names of clowns that were popular in those days. So it's considered emoshav leitzim. Now, it's considered emoshav leitzim a place where people go, come around and turn into jokers, jesters, right? people who don't treat life with any kind of seriousness whatsoever. Okay, and the first parak in Tehillim, which we're going to hear from later this morning, and we're going to hear from tomorrow as well. The first parak in Tehillim tells us that we should not be involved in any type of Moshav Leitzim. V'aleim ha'kasav omer. And we start now. We're going to quote the pasuk right now. First parak in Tehillim, first pasuk in Tehillim. Asher isha shelo alach v'chulei. Ki im besoros Hashem chetzo. Ha'lamata shedvar ma'alolam mevi'im asa adam l'day bitul Torah. So you get involved in going to the stadium, going to the circus. So fundamentally, what's the problem? Bitul Torah. You are now not going to be, you're going to be wasting your time. You're not going to be learning Torah. Or Remino, the Gemara says, on the other hand, we have another Tosefta. And this one starts off, you go to the stadium because you could be there and you could scream and perhaps even save somebody. Okay, in other words, I know, right, if you've ever attended a sporting event, lo aleinu, okay, but I have. So if you've ever attended a sporting event, so you know, you get there and you scream and you shout and, you know, you're a fan. Over here, the Gemara is not describing fandom. The Gemara is describing where, again, it's blood sport. People are being put to death over there. And it's possible that you can somehow, it's hard for me to paint the scene because I haven't been there, but somehow by you screaming and yelling, so you could save somebody's life. And it could be that one of the victims over there is a Jew. And so by you participating in such an event, you'll have some contributing factor to saving somebody's life. Ulecharkom, motem im neyish of Medina. And also going to the Charkom as well, because there too, you can be involved in some sort of, the Gemara describes it as Yishuv Medina. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Yisol Adarim Ba'oso Ayirsha Zemavakesh B'nei Yishuv Acharkom La'atzilam. Somehow again, by you going over there, you can be a contributing factor to saving another Jew's life. Ovevan L'Sholo Yischashi V'mehem. However, you can go there, but what you cannot be is you cannot be a participant. Meaning once you're a participant, now if we're talking about a siege, I understand. Meaning, obviously, if the siege is made against another city, for you to be a participant, so no. But if you're going to be like kind of like a relief member over there, right? Like a Red Cross, like a member of Red Cross, where you're just there to save other people, but you are not a participating, contributing part of the siege, so then that would be okay. However, if you are participating, so then that's also. So, Kashi, it's done in Kashi, Charkam, Charkam. Now, once you see these two Toseftas that we just quoted side by side, so should you go to the stadium? Bryce number one says no. Bryce number two says yes. Should I go to the circus or the siege? Bryce number one says no. Bryce number two says yes. Now, Bishlam Acharkam Acharkam Lo Kashikam Mischashiv Mehem Kam B'Shem Mischashiv Mehem. Now, as far as the circus is concerned or the siege, so the Gemara says that I know the distinction already. If I'm a participant, so then no. But if I'm there as relief, as like Red Cross, as an independent surveyor who can perhaps save somebody's life, so then the answer is yes. Ela itstadyana itstadyan kasha. But the two brises regarding the stadiums, they're difficult. The first brise says don't go. It's bitul Torah. The second brise says yes, you can go. You may end up saving somebody's life. Tanaihi. The Gittanya. The Gemara says, well, I'm not going to resolve the differences, but I'll just simply point out it's a machlokes hatanaim. Detailing the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Ain't Ochem Leitzadim Mimnej Moshev Leitzim. Tanakama says, don't go to the stadium. It's the Moshev Leitzim, and so don't go. And Rabbi Nassim, Matzim Mimnej Yishnei Dvarim. Now Rabbi Nassim says it's okay based on two considerations. Ech Mimnej Shetzevich Umatzil. So one, again, because what you're going to do is you're going to scream and yell, and somehow, again, I wish I could better describe this, but I just simply don't, I don't have a picture in my head of how this looks. But somehow you're going to yell and scream and you're going to be able to perhaps save somebody's life. And the second reason, which I understand implicitly, is that you're going to see somebody die over there. And then what you can do is you can report the death of that person. And now that his wife is no longer an aguna, because all you need is just one person to report that that person died. And therefore, you could be the one giving that report. Gemara quotes another brisa, and you're not allowed to go to the tartiot, which probably means theater, and karkasios, also probably something similar to what we would describe as a circus, because mezavlam sham zivul avodas kochavim, because there is where they congregate to make plans for avodah zarah. V'chachamam omrim, makam she mezalbam asam im nechshad avodas kochavim. O makam she mezalbam sham asam im nechshad leitzim. Now, according to the Chachamim, look, if the gathering over there is for the purpose of avodah zarah, so then it's asr. And even if it's not for the purposes of avodah zarah, it's still asr because it's a moshav leitzim. It's a place where people there are scoffers, and you're going to end up becoming a scoffer, and you're going to be wasting your time, and it's bittul Torah. Now the Gemara says ika benayu. Now I'm sorry, my benayu. So I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura Nasim Nasan ika benayu. Now in this price that we just cited, there's no debate. Meaning, everyone's in agreement, you can't go. It's just a question of why you can't go. So, is there a difference between the position of the Tanakhama and, is there a difference between the position of Rabbi Meir and the position of the Chachamim? The Gemara says, yes, there is. There's going to be a Nafkamina. Meaning, you shouldn't go. But if you went, and if you sold items over there, so, if the issue is an issue of Avodah Zarah, so those gains in your hand are the gains of Avodah Zarah, as we already learned earlier in the Masechta, lo yidbak lecha ma'uma min acherim, that if you have gains from Avodah Zarah, so you're not allowed to have any kind of benefit from it. If, however, the issue is that it's a Moshav Leitzim, so you shouldn't go, but if you went and you did business, so what the gains that you got from the sale is not Aser. Darsh Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi ma'i dechsev asher eisha she lo alach batzas reshaim v'der chatem lo amad v'moshav leitzim lo yeshav v'chi. Sorry. Pause. Okay, so we quote for the first pasuk from Tehillim, and the Gemara now asks the obvious question when reading that pasuk. V'chimi acher shelo halach echan amad. Now, if you didn't go, you're not standing. Umi acher shelo amad echan yashav. And if you're not standing, you're not sitting. Umi acher shelo yashav echan lots. And if you didn't sit, so then you can't be a joker. El alom el chashim halach sofa lamar v'imam at sofa leishav v'im yashav sofa lalutz. And basically, the way to understand the pasuk is that one step leads to the other. Meaning, if you're just like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to stand here for just a moment, then you're going to end up sitting. And if you sit, you're going to end up scoffing, and one step is going to lead to the other. And if you end up becoming a leitz, so then the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu, which is basically, You're going to end up being a late. Meaning, so you're going to have to end up, I'm sorry, the pasuk of Mishlei. You're going to end up having to bear the sin of being a late. Amar Rebbe Elazar, kol mislotzitz yisurim b'ayin alav. You become a late, so you're going to suffer. Shenem ravata al tislotzitzu pen yichzaku mos rechem. Amalu Rebbe l'rabbanim b'matusa, b'ayin minaychu. Rava says to his students, I beg of you, I plead of you, delos tislotzitzu. Like, don't be such jokers, right? Humor is fine, laughing is fine, but don't turn into these jokers, these scoffers. So, delo leitzu alaycha yisurim, because what ends up happening is that they end up having yisurim. Amar of ketina kol maslotzis mizonosav mismaatin. Anyone who turns into a scoffer, so his food intake, his provisions, right? Your parnasa is going to be diminished. Shenemar mashach yado es lotzim. Kadosh Baruch Hu withdraws his hand from those people who are scoffers. Meaning, you know, right, it's the opposite of Poseach es Yadecha. Umasbil l'chol charetzon. Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish kol masotz, it's nofal b'gehenim. Anyone who's a lots is going to have to endure some portion of Gehenim. Shenemar. Zeid yiyel leit shemo ose ba'avra zadon ve'in ever ele Gehenim. Ever also is a word describing Gehenim. Shenemar yom evra yomahu. Amar Rabbi Oshia kol hamisiyahir. Nofal b'gehenim. Anyone who exhibits arrogance is going to also have to endure a portion of Gehenim. Shenemer zed yel lat shemo ose be'evra zadon ve'in evra ela Gehenim. Shenemer yom evra yomahu. Amar Rabbi Chanilai bar Chanilai kol mesos es gorim klaya la'olam. Anyone who turns into a scoffer is going to cause destruction for this world. Shenemer al tis lotetu pen yechzuku mosrechem ki chala v'nechritza shamati. Ama Rebbe Elazar kashi hisha tchilasu yisurim v'sofa klaya. Rebbe Elazar points out that it's so difficult, a person who is scoffer, that it starts with suffering but ends up with destruction. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow we start with Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi.